The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I'll continue with what I'll give the talk I was thinking about giving, and it's been on my mind for a few days. And the topic is the five faculties. But for introducing the five faculties, I want to read a story from my little book, The Monastery Within. It says, the title is Noise and Silence. The monastery work leader always appeared peaceful. This was not so unusual among the monks and nuns of the monastery. He was unique, however, in that he remained peaceful and calm even when the monastery was at its busiest. For example, when large crowds of people visited to celebrate the Buddha's birthday. If a person was needed to visit the hustle and bustle of the local market town, this was the monk the monastery usually sent. When asked how he managed to remain peaceful, he said, "I entered the monastery for peace and quiet. I had spent years in the harried world of commerce and people. I longed for the silence the monastery was rumored to have. I was delighted with my first weeks in the monastery. The silence was exquisite. However, as I settled into the silence of the place, I was shocked to learn how noisy my own mind was. The real noise was within. It was the busyness of my own mind that oppressed me, not the noise and activity of the world. Now it doesn't matter where I go. I carry the silence with me." So, the part of the noise of the mind is all the thinking that goes on, the swirl of thoughts and images that goes on in the mind. And when those are strong and we are somehow obsessed with it or swept away in those thoughts and concerns, it's almost like losing our life. And when we stop being obsessed and swept along by the current of thinking, it's kind of like getting the life back. And for some people, meditation is maybe one of the primary places where they get their life back. Because in meditation, the mind quiets. And there, we learn to let go of our preoccupation with thoughts or being pulled away in them. And the mind starts to become quieter and stiller. And it doesn't necessarily mean that thoughts have to go away, but that it feels like there's silence. Feels like there is a peace there as well. So the idea of silence in meditation, the idea of the reference point for how I want to teach today about the five faculties. So the background for this talk is the idea that before the Buddha was awakened, he went and studied with two spiritual teachers of his time. And they were kind of meditation teachers, or their access to the truth that they were teaching was through meditation. But first, he learned the teachings of these teachers, and he learned them well, and he became, together with others who had learned those teachings, he kind of mastered the teachings, and he assumed, and this is an amazing story, he assumed that he now knew and saw what was true, but he didn't. He just had learned the teachings, but sometimes teachings can be so compelling and kind of enlightening, the teachings, that people sometimes confuse a cognitive understanding of this life with this deeper life that has to do with a kind of a more silent knowing, a silent seeing of what's happening here. So then he went to those teachers and he said, you know, how do I have access to really know and see, what you're teaching? And so they explained to him, they taught him the kind of meditation practice they were teaching. Both of them were kind of meditation practices where you really kind of disappear from this world, a world of senses and experience. And one of them is a meditation state of nothingness, where you dip into a place of tremendous nothing. Nothing is there, just absence. And the second one taught a little bit further along that even the perception of absence kind of disappears. And there's it's so rarefied, so simple, so a lack of input on the mind. The mind is very, very still and peaceful. But the Buddha thought that this is not freedom. And then he had a realization, or had a self-reflection, that he had five qualities that he could rely on to find his way. He had faith, what usually called faith. He had confidence. He had courage. He had the capacity to bring attention to his experience. And he had ability to be centered in his experience. And he had the ability to be discerning, to see clearly what's going on here and differentiate between what's happening. And these are my translation for today for the five faculties, usually translated as faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. And now, faith, because sometimes it assumes to be kind of a faith in something, like in teachings, in a teacher or something, this is not what the Buddha had faith in at this point, but rather he had confidence in himself. And so he was able then to go to meditate and call on this confidence. And he didn't know what the truth was. He didn't know what liberation was yet. He just knew that that's what he was pursuing. And so not knowing where this is going, not having a teacher to accompany him on the path or point him out the pitfalls of the path and keep him on track, he was on his own. So it took courage, not just energy, but real courage. And then certainly it took mindfulness, but probably it took a real sense of presence with all the attentional faculties that he had to engage attentively with what's happening. And then the concentration part was to be centered, to be one-pointed or one-centered, really here, centered. And then to be discerning. Now, each of these five could be seen in why I started with this little teaching about silence. One reference point for understanding how to evoke these and support meditation practice is to evoke them in such a way that they help the mind become silent, to quiet the mind. So this confidence is not to stir us up, or faith is not to stir us up with beliefs, ideas, and thoughts about what we have confidence and faith in, but rather a kind of embodied confidence which allows the anxious mind, the planning mind, the confused mind, the obsessed mind to quiet down, almost as if the thinking is not really needed much. What's needed is the mind to become still and silent. Silent from its chatter. Silent from its inner noise that spins around. So to call on a confidence to sit here and become still, quiet. And to have the courage to do so. The pull and the authority of our concerns, the things we're anxious about, the things that we're resentful for, the things that we want, the thoughts about me, myself, and mine. These have a lot of authority, and people are often quite ready to defend them, how important they are, and And how can I be safe? How can I find my way in my life? Unless I engage in these kinds of authoritative kind of thoughts, which just if we engage with them are just more noise. And so to have the courage, for at least in meditation, to not pursue a career, not pursue and fix a relationship, not to be worried about the future, not to be caught up in what's happened in the past. All those things are appropriate at times. There's a time and season for all those kinds of thinking about the future, the past, our desires, the problems we have in our life. But it takes a kind of courage to not succumb to them, to not get sucked into them, but to have the courage to really sit, okay, now's the time to be here, silent and still. And then attention, to do so with attention, attentiveness, an attentiveness that kind of partakes to the silence. So it's not attentiveness that is thinking about what's happening. Some people confuse mindfulness with thoughtfulness, and there's a kind of a thinking of what's happening in the present moment. But an attentive, a silent attentiveness, to enter into that the silence that is not the lack of sounds, but rather it's a ability to be more attuned, more sensitive, to take in all the data that's happening. And then the support that being centered in our experience gives to being silent, the ability to be within our middle of our experience and find a place of center. It could be an object of concentration. It could be the belly as it moves, the sensations of the breathing someplace in the body, the tip of the nose. But it isn't so much that we're focusing, like from the control tower, onto this singular place of attention. It's kind of more like where we're composing ourselves on it, a composure, a centeredness. Some people like the word become grounded in this. And so like this composure, grounded, centeredness is an embodied experience where all of us is here, present. And then this discernment and wisdom faculty in the service of silence, in the service of differentiating and seeing, now I'm getting obsessed with thoughts. Now I'm involved with the noise and contributing to the agitation of the mind. What is it if I turn my attention and keep it in the realm of what's quieting and stilling and the silence? And a part of the function of wisdom is to see and discern and work with the other four faculties. So one way of understanding these five faculties is that they are not separate from each other. It isn't like five separate capacities, but rather there's a way in which when what we're doing is attentive, a silent attentiveness, they actually are five facets of the same jewel, the jewel of stillness, the jewel of silence, the jewel of kind of peace. And so it's possible in meditation to go through kind of like a checklist and check in with oneself. Where is my confidence? And to evoke it if necessary, but don't evoke it with thoughts and ideas, but where is there an embodied feeling of confidence that allows something to be still and quiet? And, the embodied feelings are not thoughts. And so they don't partake of the world of chatter, of noise. But to feel the silent quality of embodiment, an embodied sense of confidence, maybe a strength that's there. And then the embodied quality of courage. So not talking yourself into being courageous, being strong in your dedication, but a courage to allow yourself to be still, allow yourself to be silent. And this is probably takes a lot of courage, because sometimes the forces of concerns that we have are important. Sometimes they have tremendous power and strength themselves, so much so that if we try to sit still and sit quiet, we might get very restless, anxious, angry. All kinds of things can happen that because we're up meeting and confronting these deep kind of operating systems or conditioning that sometimes have been formed over a difficult lifetime. But what is the courage that allows us to sit still and quiet? And I love the fact that courage comes from the French word heart, cœur, and that it not only is it courage, but maybe courage comes with compassion, with heartfeltness, with care. And then attentiveness. What's the attention that is left, or that which has a chance to shine, when we're still and quiet? If we're not distracted by thoughts, if we're not busy talking to ourselves, what attention appears? It's kind of like if the curtains have been pulled, we don't see outside. And then if we pull the curtains, what do we see outside? How's the weather changed? And what do we notice? So this silent attentiveness is the attention that is left when the mind is silent. And rather than being so much something that we have to apply and do the mindfulness, it's more of a allowing of that attentiveness, the natural attention, whatever attentiveness is for you at any given time, when the mind is allowed to be quiet enough, still enough, receptive enough to for the attentiveness to surface and be there. It's very hard not to be attentive, not to be aware, not to know what's happening if the mind is quiet and still and alert. And that's why the courage and the strength, the confidence brings that alertness. And then the centeredness that provides stability, that provides steadiness. And what is the steadiness, stability, centeredness, groundedness that you can feel your way to when the mind starts becoming quiet and still? And then the discernment again, the recognizing, the keeping the attention, noticing these things. So going through the checklist and saying, oh, here's my confidence. Here's my courage or my strength. Here's my attention. This is attentiveness. Here is stability, steadiness, centeredness. And here is the discernment, the understanding, the seeing clearly. And perhaps in going through that, rather than thinking of each of them as being separate, they're each part and parcel of this quality of attentiveness, a quality of, it's all kind of one big package, it's one thing. So a jewel that has, you know, five sides, and depending on what side you're looking at, you see a different quality. So they're not, these qualities are not distinct practices, but they're things that are there when we are stably attentive here. It's kind of like if you if you've been on a train for a long, long time and shaking on the train, and you know you have to kind of get your balance, you know, all the time, and then you come out of the train and you're no longer cooped up and you're no longer on this moving vehicle, and you open up onto the, you know, maybe it's a train stop in some rural place where you open skies and vast fields, and and you come down on the, and you're, and you just, it's so good to be now on solid ground. And maybe that sense of stability and solidness and space and aliveness and attentiveness is all one thing. We're experiencing it all at once. It isn't like we're developing each one of them by itself. So the Buddha, after he left his teachers, he called on these five qualities that he had to support him in sitting still and quiet, and delving deeply into the realms of freedom, of letting go, of being here, and seeing clearly, and knowing clearly what this lived life is. And I think of the Buddha's liberation as giving him life. And if we get caught up in too many thoughts and preoccupation, we kind of lose a life. In the Dhammapada, it says this, kind of to paraphrase it wildly, that to spend too much time distracted and obsessing in thoughts, it can be as if we're already dead. But to really show up and be attentive is to never die. Something like that. So in these last minutes of the sitting, of this talk, what I'd like to do is to suggest we do a short, maybe 5-minute meditation. And I will name each of these five faculties and see if you have any reference point for how each of these faculties, each of these sides of the jewel, can support you to become quiet, a kind of inner silence. It doesn't have to be 100% quiet of thoughts, but a kind of silence that allows the thoughts to be there without you being obsessed. And it might not be that you have direct access today, but to kind of feel in and imagine, and maybe something, some point in your life, something happened or some contact of these things that can be a reference point for you about how these five faculties support you in becoming still and quiet. So if you're comfortable with it, you can close your eyes. And if you are sitting, you might sit up a teeny bit, little bit straighter than you are. Especially if you're, listening casually on the couch or something, sit up straighter. Because you want to find a way, this is an embodied practice we're doing here, where the embodiment of these qualities is what supports the silence. If we have to think about them, then maybe we get more noise. And as you exhale for next 3 exhales, allow yourself to relax, alert and relaxed, kind of settle in, quiet down. And then to hear these words, the names for each of the faculties, and maybe not think about it so much, but feel your way. Is there some embodied quality, that some place in your body where these qualities live? or some way you associate it with bodily feelings, that if you center yourself on them, they support more silence, quiet. So the first is confidence. Is there any confidence already in you? Confidence in your capacity for a few minutes to just sit, to be still, to be quiet. The second is courage. Is there a courage to show up for what's here, to be present for this experience now, your embodied experience? A courage which is calming, steadying, a courage that helps you become more embodied here and now. And as you enter into the world of inner silence, stillness, is there a quality or form of attentiveness which is part of that silence, that is part of the stillness? That's not something you do, but something that you become attuned to. Attuned to quiet, still attentiveness. And then there's a quality of being centered. Steadiness, stability. Where attention is centered in the midst of your life, midst of your body. Is there kind of a centering that is part of the stillness, part of the silence, that enhances the silence of now? And then your ability to notice confidence, courage, attentiveness, centeredness, that is discernment. Maybe a silent recognition, silent attunement. And maybe these five qualities make up part of the whole, make part up of the whole experience of sitting here with an inner silence, stillness, and peace. And then to end this meditation, you can take a few long, slow, deep breaths. Feel your body more fully. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. So, thank you, and if you found this interesting, the five faculties, it's one of the kind of foundational teachings about the inner capacities we have that can support meditation. You might find it interesting to, from time to time, to go through them systematically. I've done it sometimes on each breath I do a different one. First breath, confidence, strength or courage, attentiveness, centeredness, and then discernment. And just kind of go through, and there's something about having a little task that itself is centering and focusing and quieting. And maybe you'll come to appreciate your capacity for inner stillness. And it's a stillness you can carry with you wherever you go. And it doesn't matter how noisy it is around you, because you carry the stillness inside. So thank you very much for this time. And then one announcement, and that is that, I think that probably many of us have been moved by many of the serious difficulties existing in the world right now. And I thought it would be very nice for this YouTube community and people who are watching, sharing and with these teachings for so long and joining together and practicing together. And, you know, I often end every meditation, except today, every meditation with a dedication of merit or expression about the value of allowing the momentum of the meditation to go into living a life that benefits the world around us. So one way we can do that, if you're interested in, is I thought collectively to make donations to help the people of Haiti, a country that had been having challenges for years and years. And the donations will go to Partners in Health, a wonderful nonprofit that does healthcare in Haiti, and they do it at a grassroots level. And so they really go out there and into the towns, the villages, work with the grassroots medical care teams and nurses and people to make sure that it goes to the people who need it. And they have quite an extensive network in Haiti. So it's a great organization to support. And you can certainly go there directly to do it yourself. I think it's pih.org is the website. Or it's also be nice if you want to do it through IMC. And so what we're doing is Friday, Saturday, and today is that any donation that goes to IMC, whether it's to me, sometimes people make teacher donation, or it goes to IMC, to the general fund, that we'll turn right around and donate it to Partners in Health, and all of it will go that way. And the way to make that donation, we don't have a special Haiti button. You just have to go into the donate button, and then there'll see a win. There'll be different options on the donate page, and one of them will say IMC / Audio Dharma. And there's a window you type in how much you want to donate. So that's the place to put it. And as I said, that'll go, if it comes in today, it'll go to Haiti, to Partners in Health. And I just got delighted by this idea that maybe our community that's been together for some of us for so many, for so long of the pandemic might have a little project like this. So if you'd like, that's available. And hopefully now we're on track with our internet service here at IMC. And I apologize for those of you who, found it confusing or difficult to not connect today because of the internet service provider was down. So thank you very much.